Hello and welcome to the 7th Persiflage podcast. Today I will be reading the 7th paper Persiflage, which is headlined number 7 in a series of Persiflages for the discerning reader of idiocy. And it was published on May the 3rd, 2001. So without further ado, I'm just going to dive into this one. The first article is entitled, Concerning the Woes of the Coffee House Regular. There is a perception, widespread amongst those strange individuals infected overmuch with what we call the Protestant work ethic, that lounging in cafes is a carefree occupation, completely without stress or strain. The seasoned and serious coffeehouse habitué, there's that damn word again, regular, I believe it means, such as ourselves, knows this not to be the case. There are occurrences and annoyances that serve to distract us from the primary duties of idleness. For instance, most coffee houses possess a door or doors with access to the outside world. Those without find that their business suffers greatly. And through these portals pass any number of individuals during the course of your average latte, cafe, etc. Insert the caffeinated beverage of your choice here. And of course, it behooves the serious patron to, at the very least, look up from his or her coffee-sipping, reading, or dedicated smoking. This was obviously written when one could still smoke inside. To see who it is who has either A, entered, or B, exited the premises. This can be tiring and oft-times a literal pain in the neck. But as we all know, this is not the greatest difficulty we daily face. The main problem of the serious idler is overheard conversation. Eavesdropping is life's blood to the cafe dweller, and from this venerable occupation spring two serious problems. Both of these arise from one unavoidable fact that can be summed up as follows. The inherent interest of a conversation is in direct inverse proportion to the volume at which it is conducted. That is to say, that if some person at a nearby table happens to be discussing something of interest to you, the conversation will be barely audible. In order to hear anything, you will have to strain considerably. You will only hear enough to be thoroughly frustrated. At crucial points in the discussion, one of the able and friendly staff will begin to steam milk, or some other disinterested patron will drag a chair across the floor, or perhaps the second corollary of the aforementioned general rule will manifest itself. What I mean by that is this. Uninteresting, moronic, and submoronic conversations are invariably carried on at high volumes. If you are in doubt as to the veracity of this statement, ponder for a moment all the intelligent things you have heard shouted out of car windows. I thought so. If there is something that you very much want to hear, rest assured it will invariably be drowned out by the incoherent hootings of the unibrows. I have found that if there is something which is of absolutely no interest to anyone, including, I suspect, the speaker, it will be entirely audible to even the extremely hard of hearing if they are within a 3-block radius. So what is the solution? How can we, who so enjoy our coffeehouse leisure, be delivered or deliver ourselves from this ubiquitous menace? Well, the carrying of handguns is frowned upon in our society, with the notable exception of by the police, and I have to say that the local constabulary seems less than vigorous in its prosecution of this kind of noise pollution. What about a less drastic solution, like pepper spray or mace, you say? I had a friend once who was never without his bear mace. He started carrying it after he was assaulted and robbed in a mall parking lot, although, as far as I know, his assailants were not of the ursine variety. Perhaps if bears were lounging in large numbers in our cafes and having endless boisterous discussions about various brands of honey and the comparative charms of the many fine salmon fishing getaways, then this would be a workable solution. But as our tormentors are of a less hirsute variety, this is no solution at all. I mean, who wants to listen to the tortured wailings of some maced yabo? I don't. Do you? Hubris. Next up, will come as no surprise to regular listeners to this podcast, is a poem entitled On Neophytic Smokers. Only a very provisional permit to smoke should be issued to the droppers of cigarettes and tentative lighters with their tendency to uncomfortably struggle with minor changes in air currents too small to be called wind. And the poet's name is Martin Ising, who I think we had a poem by him before in one of the earlier ones, which I am too lazy to look up. The second essay is by someone called Frank Speaking, and it is called Commentary on the Cellular Age. Here goes. Okay, I've just about had it with cellular phones. If they'd stop offering such amazing deals, I could stop buying them. But until they do, I'm just not equipped to pass up that kind of bargain. Of course, the downside of this is that I can no longer get to my calls in time. A phone starts ringing, and by the time I've sorted through my bag and figured out which phone it is, whoever's calling has long since packed it in. People just have no patience anymore. I'm old enough to remember the old steam-operated portable phones, and in those days, calling someone, never mind answering the damn thing, was an adventure. You learned to take chances. Sometimes they would have to ring 30 or 40 times before the receiver could get properly suited up to answer. You could get some wicked burns off those things. But now, with this incredible ease of operating, nobody wants to wait more than a couple of rings. What is it with this younger generation, anyhow? No, seriously, I'm asking. Is it all that MTV and video games, or the ready availability of mind-expanding drugs, or that whole shoes-in-the-dryer music thing? Personally, I think the only positive development in the last 10 years has been the steady increase of wrestling on TV. Now, at least, youngsters are exposed to the fine tradition of epic poetry. Sure, it's bad poetry, but Achilles, Ajax, and the boys would be totally at home on WCW. That's an interesting thought. An interesting perspective from Frank Speaking, whoever he is, or was. And we're going to wind up again with quotations. Quoting makes you look clever. It does not seem a profitable procedure to make odd noises on the off chance that posterity will find a significance to attribute to them. A.S. Eddington. When Gauguin wanted to get away, he went to Tahiti. That was easy. But if you go to Tahiti today, there's the Hilton. Lawrence Ferlinghetti. The optimist proclaims that we live in the best of all possible worlds, and the pessimist fears this is true. James Branch Cable. Oh, and then there's another section of quotations. And it is signaled with the line, "And how's about a little Latin?" So, forgive my pronunciation. Nemo repente fuit terpissimus, which is translated as, "Nobody ever became depraved all at once." Decius Junius Juvenalis, or Juvenal. Well, that's interesting. And that's it for this week's Persiflage podcast. So, goodbye.